The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, and for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this All Saints Sunday. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about this day, this week, and always. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I did not focus on the gospel today, but there's a lot of great wisdom in there, and I'm sure that the Lord will speak to us in many different ways today on that. Most of you know that I'm mourning my father's passing as well, and my hearts are heavy for all of you that are also mourning loved ones. So may the Spirit lead you all in peace and hope in his grace. In the old German days, in the wealthy families, the eldest son inherited everything, the land, the title, while the rest of the children were subordinated and sent into military, ministry, married off, or pursued other professions. Women relied on their husband's title and land in place of an inheritance. Those who had titles when they married lost their titles if a person they married had a lower ranking title. For example, a princess would lose her title if she married a baron or a landowner. I always felt it was unfair that the eldest son would inherit everything. What about the rest of the family? Why does a person's status change based on whom they marry? Can't they stand alone? According to this old law, birth order and gender determines everything, and the rest are chopped liver? That just does not seem just. The term election in our faith has always bothered me too. The chosen ones, and what about the rest of the people? Lutherans and Presbyterians, my friends, often joke about themselves about being the frozen chosen. The language of election is present in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We have obtained an inheritance, and we have been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things. This echoes a theme prior to today's reading in Ephesians, where Paul tells us God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's comforting. Paul was writing as a Jew, a chosen one of God, who had persecuted Christians and on the road to Damascus had had a conversion experience. So moved by the grace shown on him through Christ, he became a missionary to the Jews and Gentiles alike. He wrote this letter to the church in Ephesus from a prison, most likely in Rome. Older manuscripts don't include an addressee, so it is thought by some scholars to be a circular letter, the first of its kind. The people of Israel were God's elected people, but God chose them so that the whole world would be blessed through them. Genesis 12:3 says, "I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Paul's writing to the Gentiles talks about how Christ, the fullness of the revelation of God, binds both Jews and Gentiles together to receive one inheritance. Not just the eldest, but all people are chosen by Christ before the foundation of the world to receive an inheritance of the heavenly kingdom. We sinners and saints are promised new and eternal life in our baptism, freedom from sin and the world's ways, to love and serve God and our neighbor as ourselves. This is not by our own doing, but by the one who justifies us on the cross and welcomes us into his kingdom and calls us to meet and welcome all people, especially the ones with whom we seem to have nothing in common with. The inheritance of the heavenly realm given through Christ crucified and risen, to which we are joined in baptism, comes from Jesus' love and election of us before the foundation of the world. We are inheritors of a kingdom where God sees and loves everyone equally, where what the world defines us as, for example, consumers, winners, losers, our political parties, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Conservative, Liberal, Moderate, or Progressive, or perhaps the title of our job or the status of our relationships, the size of our pocketbooks, none of that has any power over us anymore because of Christ crucified and risen, to which we were joined in baptism. Where Christ's unconditional love and grace and our identity as Christ's beloved forgiven children empowers us to live anew and follow Jesus, to meet the poor, the weeping, the hated, the excluded, and the reviled, sharing with them that it is grace that justifies us before God in Christ Jesus. And in Jesus, we are raised to new life, where we are called to follow Jesus, and through his blessing of him choosing us, we are called to bless others by loving and serving those the world would exclude, trample on, forget, and discard, and abuse. In other words, according to Reverend Mark Tranvik, professor of religion at Augsburg College, election is for the sake of the world and not a separation from the rest of humanity. It is not supposed to feed speculation about who is in and who is out, nor is it a license to simply sit on our hands and not do anything. Rather, election implies a significant responsibility. One is chosen so that one might be an instrument of God's purposes in the world. But always keep in mind that it is God's purpose and not our own. Luke's gospel is written to let the elect know that Jesus sides with the poor, the underdog, and the suffering, that the world's ways are not God's ways, and that the blessing of election by Christ's grace in our baptism calls us to side with the poor, the underdog, and the suffering in our communities, in our homes, in our nation, and the world. The world tells us that they are not worthy of our time, our attention, and our love. The world tells us it is the rich who are elected and that everyone else is just a means to an end. Though we may not fall into most of the categories of whom Jesus calls blessed in Luke's gospel today, all of us have suffered from our own sin or the sin of others. We have hurt others by seeing them as the world sees them and not seeing them as God sees them, and keeping the light that Christ gave us in baptism for ourselves. I have done that often. We have chosen who is in and who is out and have determined who is worthy of our help. Yet the election of the glorious inheritance of God through Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sin is what heals us. It redeems and sustains us and gives us hope and peace. And in baptism and in Holy Communion, Jesus reminds us we are forgiven and we are blessed to be a blessing to others. You all are blessed in baptism, and you all are a blessing to others. In the various ministries you carry out here at St. Matthew, in the way you show grace to the people in your families, in the way that you welcome a stranger, in the different social ministries going on to support the poor and needy, for example, the Morristown Ministerium and Bridge of Peace Food Pantry, the Excel Snack Program for the local youth at the Morristown Recreation Program, MEND, which works to combat homelessness, the Interfaith Hospitality Network, which invites our homeless guests to have shelter and sanctuary for a week, the Sunday School, who helps support the New Jersey Farmers Against Hunger and the Young Adults and Global Mission serving Senegal, the making of sandwiches for the homeless, the putting together a Thanksgiving basket for the hungry, the Green Team initiatives to care for and steward God's creation. And there are initiatives by the New Jersey Synod and the ELCA that call us to look at how we contribute to the oppression of our sisters and brothers of African descent who are facing alarming incarceration rates in an unjust criminal justice system that most of us don't even realize doles out punishment inequitably based on the color of skin. And there are initiatives through the Faith, Hope, and Love program launched by our very own Ms. Thomas to help congregations become more welcoming to those who are our LGBTQIA sisters and brothers. They too are made in the image of God and are loved by God. And it's okay to struggle with these concepts. God will hold us in our struggle and love us. And he binds us together in baptism to love one another and serve one another. And there are advocacy initiatives led by our sister and my colleague, Reverend Sarah Lilia, and the Lutheran Social Ministries that help us see how we can support those who are escaping violence and abuse and seeking asylum in a time where our nation has reduced welcoming refugees and asylum seekers from 75,000 people to 18,000 people, where we have millions of refugees worldwide who need a home. I don't know that much about the immigration and refugee system, but it's worth me looking into and seeing how God is calling me to help our sisters and brothers in need. My aunt was a refugee after the war in Germany, the atrocious killing of the Jewish people, and she was 8 years old and was a refugee separated from her family. And I saw how it affected her whole life. And so I know many of us are detached from a lot of this, but God calls us away from our distractions to hear their voices and to see how we can work together apart from all of our other distractions. disagreements and serve the needy in the world. There are advocacy efforts that call for bipartisan support of immigration reform to help those who are caught in the middle of fulfilling our government's orders and those seeking a better way in life for themselves. I invite you to talk to the Social Ministries Chair, Denise Cole, or Tom Campbell, who just stepped up to be the Vice President. Ask them where you might be able to serve. I know that you guys are blessed, and I know that you bless others, and I will continue to hold you all in prayer and give thanks for you. And I know that our Lord is with you and loves you and will never leave nor forsake you. You all will remain in our family's heart and prayers. And one day we'll be reunited again. Thanks be to God because of our baptism.